This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Jerome Anthony, and today I'll be stepping into my colleague Anvita Bansal's shoes to get you your daily dose of the top news from around the world. But as I begin to do that, let me give you a word on the Money Control app. Now you can learn to earn from experts on the Money Control app. Download it to know more. And in case you haven't done that, please do download the app to get more information on how you could learn to earn. Moving on, I have my colleague Siddesh Raut, who's going to talk to us and let us know what's happening with your data. Yes, there could be some privacy issues there. There are some reports I hear. Siddesh, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jerome. Thank you for having me here.
So what's the latest on this that companies now, rather tech companies, are going to make personal data of users available to the government as well as to, you know, other private companies?
Right, Jerome. So according to the Economic Times, the Ministry of Electronics and IT said that it may make it mandatory for companies like Google, Amazon, and Facebook and Microsoft that deals with users' data to sell it to government and government-related agencies.
Okay.
They've categorically mentioned that this data is going to be non-private data or data of a public nature,
okay,
essentially. This data will be sold on the basis of an economic fee. And according to an official that was quoted in this report, this fee will be provided because these kind of companies that deal with this data actually take the effort to compile or collate all this data altogether. So that's the service bit that they're being remunerated for.
Okay. Quite strange there, at least for me, Siddesh. Mm-hmm. We have been dealing with privacy issues and now we are being told that, yes, these companies are collecting your data. How do you segregate between private and public data? One of my concerns. Nonetheless, what do you mean by public data?
Right, Jerome. Public data here means data of a rather anonymous nature.
Mm-hmm.
The report quoted the official going on to give an example where he stated that the government could approach an Ola or an Uber or a cab aggregator,
mm-hmm,
for example, to share data concerning last mile connectivity.
Okay.
And they could use this data to possibly improve their public transportation systems.
Right.
So this is the kind of divide that they're trying to make between private and public of that nature.
Okay.
Just going on to add, they also stated that the data that they would possibly buy, mm-hmm, from these companies, if this kind of amendment or if this kind of proposition passes,
mm-hmm,
and goes into law, they would reveal the nature of the data that has been bought from these companies,
mm-hmm,
to the public.
Okay, fair. You know, if that's what public data means, I don't think a lot of us would have a problem on letting the government know or a private company know that, yes, I traveled from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
But what about my goodbyes or, you know, my goodnight message to a loved one? That could be a cause of concern, I'm sure, not only for you and me, mm-hmm, for the public in general. But can you tell us what led to this move?
Right, Jerome, these are definitely key concerns.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at the government stance, they believe that this kind of public data, this data which is of a non-personal nature,
mm-hmm,
is something that is kept by these companies and that could lead to a bit of information asymmetry.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of data, which should be out there, is not basically free-flowing of,
mm-hmm,
a nature.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically want to turn that around and possibly find a way to better access this data so that the people who could do constructive things with it,
mm-hmm,
could take it forward. Just to give you some perspective, the seven major US-based companies that deal with such kind of data, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Google, Facebook, and aside from these American companies, China-based Tencent and Alibaba, all these companies combined together hold close to 67% of all the data market by value.
Okay.
This is according to a United Nations Conference on Trade and Development report,
okay,
on digital economies. So on another note, the report has also quoted experts, which said that India could tie up with other parties such as the European Union and Japan to basically figure out a way to kind of, you know, regulate the stronghold on data by these big tech companies.
Okay. What does the industry have to say now that you've spoken of experts? I would like to know, mm-hmm, what does the industry have to say about, you know, this potential move by the government?
Right, Jerome. Obviously, industry experts have also flagged concerns over privacy, intellectual property rights, and also, more importantly, the nature of the compensation. So as mentioned in the report, these industry experts also trying to understand to what extent these companies will have a say in providing this data. That is a bit on the more gray side, whether they will have a choice to say no and not provide this data is something that also needs to be flagged.
Right. So there's thanks. At least, you know, the industry experts are on the same line as I am. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are concerns about, you know, privacy not being maintained here and public data or so-called public data being sold at a price. Quite some concerns there. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the demonetization now in the next story where, yes, the Income Tax Department is issuing recovery orders against several jewelers across India over cash deposits made at the time of the demonetization. Sudesh, can you tell us what's really happening here?
Right, Jerome, the Income Tax Department is sending out recovery notices to several jewelers, according to a report by the Business Standard. It's in fact reached out to more than 500 odd jewelers in Mumbai in itself concerning cash deposits that were made during the demonetization period. So the Income Tax Department is seeking to recover that cash that was made during this period.
Okay.
In fact, the report even goes on to say that the number of notices sent out to the jewelers in Delhi are much more larger, but they haven't specified a specific number.
Okay. Quite interesting again, Sudesh, considering that, you know, at the time when people had cash, they were asked to deposit all the currencies that they had at the nearest bank or at your bank, wherever you had your bank account. And I wondered if, you know, people did, you know, have excess cash at that time.
Okay.
You know, there are a lot of causes of concern again here.
Right.
But just to know, or rather to tell our viewers, can you tell us how are the notices impacting these jewelers now?
Right. So, Jerome, the thing is, these notices were sent out to these jewelers because there is a suspicion that, according to the report by Business Standard, that these jewelers actually earned a 30 to 40% premium selling jewelry by accepting this cash, the demonetized cash.
Okay.
Past the extension period that was given out for people to return the money back to the banks.
Right.
So the IT department is going out and trying to recover the cash that these jewelers may have earned through premiums.
Mm-hmm.
But this is bad news for the jewelers themselves because there's a fear that they may not be able to pay a penalty as the demand has been soft in the past 6 months. In fact, you can see that the World Gold Council stated that India's gold demand would hit a 3-year low of about 700 to 750 tons in 2019, according to a report that was published in November.
Okay.
So that could mean a lot of trouble for them. In fact, the report even went on to say it could lead to the closing of several of these jewelry shops.
Okay.
Because they wouldn't be able to pay the kind of penalties if they were found guilty.
Okay.
In fact, this has even left people on the wholesale side of the jewelry business to be a bit wary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quoting Surendra Mehta, who's the National Secretary of the Indian Bullion and Jewelers Association. He told Business Standard, and I quote, "In view of reports of additional demand orders of income tax following cash deposits during demonetization by retail jewelers, we have advised all manufacturers and wholesalers to do proper KYC of retail jewelers, including their tax demands, before delivering any fresh material to them." So you can see from the statement that even the wholesale jewelers are also keeping themselves on guard over this development.
Right, Sudesh. Thank you so much for these developments.
Thank you. Thank you, Jerome.
Moving on in some sad news in 2020, we'll be discussing the infant death toll in a hospital in Kota, Rajasthan. To tell us all about that, I have my colleague Atharv Pandit with us. Hi Atharv, can you tell us, you know, these infant deaths happening, which happened even in 2018 and happened in 2019 as well. Could you give us details on it?
So yes, Jerome, that's it's indeed a sad start to 2020. At least two more infants have died today at the JK Lohan Hospital in Rajasthan's Kota district, taking the death toll since the start of December to 102. At least 100 children have died at the hospital in the month of December itself, which is an increase from the 77 that had died in December 2018. In the last 2 days of 2019, 9 infants had died, 4 on December 30 and 5 on December 31. So the hospital authorities have said that the reason that they have given is that they all passed away due to low birth weight. This is what the hospital superintendent, Dr. Suresh Dulara, has said.
Right.
The rising number of deaths have also forced Congress President Sonia Gandhi to seek an explanation regarding the issue from party's state president Avinash Pandey. Pandey has said that a detailed report regarding the deaths has been submitted to the Congress chief, which is Sonia Gandhi. And Rajasthan Chief Minister Ashok Gehlot, meanwhile, he's facing criticism from the opposition. He said in a series of tweets, he assured in a series of tweets that his government is sensitive to the deaths of the sick infants at the hospital. But he also insisted that there should be no politics on the issue.
Exactly. Athar, is the police going to be investigating this entire issue?
We are not sure whether the police will be involved in this particular incident, Jerome. But the hospital authorities, the hospital itself has ordered a probe and after initial inquiries and has also formed a three-member panel to investigate the spate of deaths. The panel was directed on 28 December to submit a report within 48 hours. And the hospital authorities have also promised action against the erring doctors after they receive the report.
Okay.
However, there is no word of the report being submitted as of yet.
I hope, Athar, the report is submitted soon and action is taken against those guilty. Thank you for giving us all these updates.
Thank you, Jerome.
Next, we'll be talking about more tragic news, but this is not happening in India. This happened today in Taiwan, where the chief of army staff of the country died in a plane crash, or rather a helicopter crash. To tell us more of that, I have Money Control's Shraddha Sharma. Shraddha, could you tell us the developments that happened this morning?
Hi, Jerome. The tragic news actually comes right before the general elections in Taiwan that are scheduled for 11th January. So we hear that a helicopter with 13 high-ranking officials was actually making a routine trip to the northeast side of the country to visit the soldiers there as per the Lunar New Year.
Okay.
So it was rather tragic to happen on a new year. And so the Taipei Mountain where they were flying, after 15 minutes, they actually got off the radar. They couldn't be tracked on the radar, and they had to make a emergency landing.
Okay.
And that's when the crash happened. We know that the military chief of staff, Shen Yi Ming, died in the helicopter crash. Okay. And the Air Force commander confirmed that at least seven others have been killed in this crash.
Okay.
Among who died include the Political Warfare Bureau deputy director, the Defense Ministry's Office Deputy Chief of the General Staff for Intelligence, a Lieutenant Colonel, a Captain, a Major, and two Senior Master Surgeons have also been killed in the crash. So all high-ranking officials have died.
Okay.
And the Defense Ministry has actually put out a statement saying that the location of the helicopter has been identified, and it was a Black Hawk chopper.
Okay.
The model of the helicopter, and a rescue team has been sent out to rescue the people who might have survived the crash. And since we know 13 people were in the helicopter, the Taiwan president has actually suspended all her other meetings for today, and she is actually taking care of the rescue operation because before the general elections, as the ties with China are distressed, it's one of the major news that has come today. And apart from that, in terms of why that happened, a similar accident happened in February 2018, where six people were killed, and this was because the pilots ignored a warning signal for air turbulence, and it was the same model of the helicopter. So it is being speculated that the reason could be similar for this crash as well.
Alright, thank you, Shraddha, for giving us these updates.
Thank you, Jerome, for having me.
With that, we wrap this episode of In the News podcast. In case you have any query or any suggestion, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.